Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
Good to be back.
Today, we're doing another deep dive, looking at some pretty significant cybersecurity incidents that have happened recently.
That's right. We've got some analyses of these events, and the idea is really to unpack them.
Yeah, get beyond the headlines. What are the underlying problems? What's the real impact? And, you know, what are the key lessons for you?
Exactly. Because these aren't just random occurrences. They often show common weak spots, patterns we see again and again.
Right. So by looking closely, we get a better handle on the kind of threats you might be facing.
Definitely helps clarify the landscape.
Okay, let's jump right in then. First up, GoDaddy. Big name in web hosting. They got hit with a final order from the FTC.
Yeah, this one's interesting. It basically came from FTC charges saying, look, you had data security failures for years.
And those failures led to actual breaches, right?
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Correct. The FTC's main point was that GoDaddy, well, allegedly, they weren't straight with customers about their security. And maybe even more importantly, they just didn't have some really basic standard security measures in place, things that could have stopped these breaches or at least limited the damage.
Right. And we're not talking about one slip up. The FTC connected these alleged gaps, the breaches happening between 2019 and 2022.
Yeah, several years. It does make you wonder, like you said, how a company that big could miss some of these fundamentals.
So what kind of fundamentals are we talking about? What did the FTC highlight?
Well, the list is frankly pretty striking. They mention a lack of multi-factor authentication, MFA, you know, right. That second check beyond just a password.
For accessing critical systems, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems basic.
It really does. They also mention things like not managing software updates properly, insufficient logging, so not keeping good records of security events.
So they wouldn't even know if something was happening.
Potentially, or it would be much harder to track. Also, failing to monitor for threats, no network segmentation.
Which means if someone got into one part, they could potentially move anywhere.
Kind of like leaving all the doors unlocked inside the house, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, poor asset tracking, not securing connections to customer data properly. It's a long list.
Wow. So really foundational stuff. Missing MFA for sensitive systems in, well, now, is a huge red flag.
Absolutely huge. And we saw the consequences. In February 2023, GoDaddy revealed this multi-year breach.
Right.
Attackers had actually installed malware. They stole source code from the cPanel shared hosting. That's the control panel lots of websites use.
Source code. That's bad.
Very bad. And they got in by compromising servers. And this breach they found was actually linked back to earlier incidents. November 2021, March 2020, it was ongoing.
Tell us about that 2021 breach. I remember that one sounding pretty nasty.
It was really impactful. In that one, attackers got into the hosting environment using just one single compromised password.
One password.
One password. And that potentially exposed data for 1.2 million managed WordPress customers.
Wow.
Yeah, things like email addresses, their WordPress admin passwords, SFTP and database logins, basically the keys to their websites and data, and even their SSL private keys.
Oof. SSL keys. That's serious. Attackers could use those to impersonate the sites, couldn't they? Set up fake versions?
Exactly. It undermines the trust mechanism of the web for those sites. And then there was the March 2020 breach.
Yeah.
28,000 customers got notified after an attacker used hosting credentials they'd already stolen back in October 2019 to connect directly to servers using SSH.
So it sounds like a lot of these didn't need some super advanced zero-day exploit. They often just used stolen passwords and walked in because those basic defenses weren't there.
That's a really key point. If the fundamental layers are missing, attackers don't need sophisticated tools. They take the path of least resistance.
Makes sense.
And that's what the FTC order is trying to address. It's mandating a stronger security program overall.
Like securing APIs. Better update management.
Right. And independent security reviews every 2 years. They have to bring someone in from outside to check their work.
And what about MFA? You mentioned that was a key lack. Did the order specify anything there?
It did, and this is really important. It mandates at least one mandatory MFA method for everyone. Customers, employees, contractors accessing tools or assets, including databases.
Mandatory, not just optional.
Mandatory. And crucially, it requires at least one MFA option that doesn't use a phone number, like an authenticator app or a physical security key.
Ah, so acknowledging that SMS MFA has its own weaknesses, That's a good step.
It is. It pushes towards genuinely stronger authentication. Now, GoDaddy's response, you know, they said they're improving security, already doing some of this. But importantly, the order itself didn't involve admitting fault or apparently major financial penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really interesting is seeing regulations step in to enforce these basics at a large scale. It shows that fundamental security isn't just like a nice to have anymore. It's becoming a baseline expectation, legally speaking.
So for you listening, if you host a website, or really if you use any big online service, this GoDaddy story is kind of a wake-up call. Even the big players can have serious gaps in basic security.
Uh-huh.
And it just hammers home that things like NFA, which we talk about all the time, they're not optional luxuries. They're essential.
And knowing what regulators are now demanding helps you maybe ask better questions about the security of the services you rely on.
Okay, let's shift focus a bit from data security failures at a hosting company to something with a perhaps more immediate physical world kind of impact.
Right, let's talk about Kettering Health. This is a big healthcare network in Ohio, lots of hospitals, ERs, clinics, employs over 15,000 people.
And they got hit with a cyber attack that caused a system-wide outage?
Yeah, pretty much ground things to a halt technologically. The immediate effect wasn't a data breach announcement, it was operational paralysis.
So what did that look like on the ground?
Their call center was down, some patient care systems were affected, they had to cancel elective procedures, both inpatient and outpatient.
Wow, that impacts a lot of people's care.
Huge disruption. Now, their emergency rooms and clinics stayed open, which is critical, but the impact on scheduled care was really significant.
And wasn't there something else going on? Reports of scammers trying to take advantage.
Yeah, that was a worrying side effect. Reports surfaced of scammers apparently calling patients, pretending to be Kettering staff, and asking for credit card payments over the phone during the outage.
Opportunistic and nasty.
Absolutely. Kettering quickly advised patients not to make payments over the phone just as a precaution. Now, they haven't officially linked the scams to the attack itself.
Yeah.
And Kettering also hasn't officially confirmed the type of cyber attack, but a system-wide tech outage like this, affecting core systems, it strongly suggests ransomware.
That's usually the prime suspect in these scenarios, right?
It is. And some cyber threat intelligence analysis points towards a potential culprit.
Oh.
A group known as Nefarious Mantis. They're apparently part of a larger cluster called Interlock. And this group, Nefarious Mantis, is known for specifically targeting U.S. healthcare and biotech sectors.
Okay, so they have a history in this area. How do they typically operate?
Their known method involves using something called the Interlock RIT. RIT stands for Remote Access Trojan.
So malware that gives them a backdoor.
Pretty much. It lets them get inside a network, look around quietly, that's reconnaissance, figure out where the important stuff is, and basically maintain control. They do this before they actually launch the ransomware.
So they set the stage first.
Exactly. And their goal seems to be very focused on causing operational disruption, sometimes alongside data theft, but the disruption itself is key. In fact, there was a reported ransom note found on encrypted devices at Kettering.
What did it say?
Something along the lines of, "Your network was compromised and we have secured your most vital files." Classic ransomware language.
I'm holding the operation hostage, essentially, not just the data.
Precisely. And that really highlights how ransomware tactics have evolved. It's not just about getting money to decrypt files anymore. It's about shutting down critical operations.
A direct threat to services we rely on.
Yes. Now, the Interlock group itself hasn't publicly claimed they hit Kettering, at least not yet. They're relatively new, apparently active since last September or so.
But they've been busy.
Oh, yeah. They've already claimed responsibility for dozens of other victims, including another major healthcare provider, DaVita. In that case, they reportedly leaked 1.5 terabytes of data.
1.5 terabytes.
Yeah.
The scale is just mind-boggling.
It really is.
So for you listening, this Kettering story, it really drives home that these attacks aren't just, you know, digital ones and zeros.
Not at all.
They have immediate real-world consequences. They can shut down essential services like healthcare, disrupting people's lives, their treatment. It really underscores how vulnerable our critical infrastructure can be.
Absolutely. It's a stark reminder.
Okay, let's pivot one more time. Our third story takes us back to data theft, but on a massive scale. And it adds layers of extortion and, finally, some legal consequences for the attacker.
Right. This one involves a 19-year-old college student who actually pleaded guilty to federal charges. It was related to a huge cyber attack and an extortion scheme that targeted student and teacher data.
And the target, based on the analysis, was an education technology company. the kind that provides services to lots of school districts, often thought to be power school.
That's the understanding, yes. And the way they got in initially is really crucial. The attacker and conspirators apparently used compromised login credentials.
Not belonging to the company itself, but
belonging to a contractor working for the company.
Ah, that third-party risk again. Always a weak link.
It so often is. So using these contractor credentials, they managed to breach the company's support platform. And from there, they found and used some kind of maintenance tool to just download school databases.
Download entire databases. How much data are we talking about?
The scale is staggering. Personal information belonging to an estimated 62.4 million students.
Million. With an M.
Million. And 9.5 million teachers. This was back in December 2024, affecting thousands of school districts across multiple countries.
Wow. 62 million students. What kind of personal information was in there?
It varied depending on what each district stored, but the potential list is deeply concerning. We're talking highly sensitive, personally identifiable information, PII.
Like names, addresses.
Full names, physical addresses, phone numbers, passwords, information about parents, contact details, even potentially social security numbers, medical data, and grades.
Oh my goodness, that's everything. Prime material for identity theft, all sorts of harm.
Absolutely. Gold dust for criminals. And then, of course, came the extortion.
They didn't just steal it. They tried to ransom it back.
Exactly. First, they went to the company itself. They demanded about $2.85 million in Bitcoin.
And the threat was?
Leak all the stolen data worldwide if they didn't pay up. Reports suggest the company actually paid that ransom.
They paid nearly $3 million. But wait, you said there were layers of extortion?
Right. Because paying didn't make it stop. Even after the company paid, the attackers then turned around and tried to extort the individual school districts directly.
No way. How?
They contacted the districts and demanded payment from them to prevent the leak of their specific students' data. It was like a second shakedown. They apparently claimed they were linked to a known threat group called Shiny Hunters during this phase.
That's incredibly brazen. Hit the main provider, get paid, then go after the individual customers with the data you stole.
It's a pretty ruthless, multi-stage tactic. Shows a calculated approach to maximizing profit from the stolen data.
So what happened legally? You said someone pleaded guilty.
Yes. The individual involved, Matthew D. Lane, pleaded guilty to 4 federal counts. These included cyber extortion and critically aggravated identity theft.
Aggravated identity theft. Does that carry specific penalties?
It does. That charge carries a mandatory minimum prison sentence on top of whatever sentence he gets for the other counts. So serious time is expected.
This whole story is just powerful. For you listening, it really shows the immense value attackers place on personal data.
Huge value.
And it shows how sophisticated their tactics are getting these multi-layered extortion schemes. It also really highlights the risk that comes with third-party access, like contractors.
That initial breach point, yeah. One compromised contractor account opened the door to exposing data for millions.
And the impact ripples out, right? It's not just the tech company. It's potentially millions of students, teachers, parents, and all those individual school districts suddenly facing extortion demands.
It's a cascading effect.
Okay, so let's take a step back now. We've looked at 3 quite different situations. GoDaddy's systemic failures, the Kettering Health ransomware outage, and this massive data theft and complex extortion case involving student data.
Yeah, they're distinct, but when you look at them together, you see some really important common threads, painting a picture of the current threat landscape.
Definitely. I mean, the first thing that jumps out is just how critical those foundational security practices are.
Absolutely. Things like MFA for everyone, proper patching and updates, actually monitoring your systems, segmenting networks, securing connections.
These aren't advanced techniques, they're the basics. And these stories show they're still the main ways attackers are getting in, or the main reasons breaches are so damaging. They're non-negotiable.
Totally. And the second thing is the real tangible impact. It's not abstract.
Right. We saw critical services like healthcare literally shut down, businesses disrupted, and incredibly sensitive personal data exposed on a massive scale.
That shift we talked about with ransomware, focusing more on causing operational chaos, not just encrypting files, that's a key takeaway too. It's a strategic change in how attackers operate.
We also saw the different motivations and tactics, from exploiting basic security laziness for widespread compromise at GoDaddy,
to more targeted attacks using tools like remote access Trojans at Kettering, and then these really complex multi-stage extortion plots in the student data case.
It shows attackers are adaptable and strategic.
And the interconnectedness is clear. A weak link in one place, like that contractor's login,
can blow back on millions of people downstream. And finally, there are real legal consequences, as the guilty plea shows. It's not always anonymous and consequence-free for the attackers.
Though catching them remains a huge challenge, of course.
So ultimately, all of this affects you listening right now, whether you realize it directly or not.
Yeah, it impacts the security of the online services you use every day. It affects the reliability of critical infrastructure like hospitals. And it involves the safety of your personal data held by countless organizations.
We're all part of this digital ecosystem.
And understanding these incidents, the tech involved, the human impact, the attacker tactics, it's really crucial for just navigating our world today.
It hopefully helps you ask smarter questions about the services you depend on and maybe be a bit more aware of the risks involved.
Exactly.
So maybe a final thought to leave you with today, something to mull over. Thinking about these stories, how much of your own life, your personal data, your ability to access services, maybe even your health, your kids' education, really relies on the security practices of organizations you might not even think about every day?
It's a sobering thought, and given how connected everything is, what role might you actually play, even indirectly, in this whole cybersecurity picture? Because, like it or not, we're all connected to it.